seems that the majority of the girls still missing. The latest is that 50 or so escaped, but the whereabouts of the others is still unknown.
And is there evidence that Boko Haram is in fact responsible for the kidnapping?
It is most likely, yes, that this is a Boko Haram attack. Simply the nature and scale of the attack means that it's most likely the militant group, simply because they would need the transportation and the weaponry to carry out such an attack.
Now, we hear some parents of these children traveled by motorcycle more than 50 kilometers into the Sambisa forest seeking to locate their children. We're told that they turned back because they were told it would be too dangerous, too risky for them to venture deeper into the area. What are the security concerns in those northern states that would frustrate these parents to lead them to attempt taking the law into their own hands?
Well, it's a real sign, I think, of the desperation of the parents that they're making this journey, that they're seeking to go into the forest themselves to look for their children. This really shows the lack of trust they have in the security services in rescuing their daughters, and they feel that it's something that they would have to do for themselves. Because they would also know just how lethal, how violent Boko Haram is. Boko Haram is not a group that negotiates. Boko Haram has spent months, years rampaging, killing civilians. So it is a real risk to the parents. It's also, once they reach the forest, it's very difficult to navigate. It would be a real surprise if they themselves would be able to locate their children, but it's a real sign of their desperation.
Does the government actually have the capability to find these girls and return them to their families?
Well, I would say it does have the capability, but there are two different things here, two different challenges. One is locating the girls, which is a more difficult challenge for the Joint Task Force because of the terrain, because the group has taken the girls into this forest. So it's harder to locate them. They wouldn't be able to use air power to do so, for example. The second challenge is, once they locate them, would be how to rescue them safely, how to rescue them without putting their lives at risk. It's not to say that the Joint Task Force is necessarily short on equipment, but it is, in many respects, part of the difficulty in dealing with Boko Haram is that it's a new kind of threat for Nigeria and for its security services. And the second thing is the strategy. This is a situation in which the forces would have to prioritize protection, in a sense, over attack. At this moment, if this is a rescue operation, it's very much about focusing, prioritizing the girls rather than killing members of Boko Haram. So it's quite a distinction there for the Joint Task Force to grapple with.
Now, the president met or has been meeting with the 36 state governors on national security issues. What do we know about the political position of the governors of the three northern states where Boko Haram seeks to create an Islamic state?
Well, in Borno State and Yobe State, you have governors who belong to opposition parties. Now, what is significant about the emergency rule that has been in place for almost a year now is that ordinarily it would mean that governors are removed from their positions of power. This hasn't been the case so far under this emergency rule, which I would argue is a positive, but there are certainly complex politics at play here, particularly with an election coming up in 2015. But I'd say the state governors have played a really significant role in terms of engaging with the Joint Task Force on the ground and providing that kind of support. Of course, there are elements, and it's a matter of debate, certainly in Nigeria, of the extent to which there's significant role for good or for ill, but state governors do hold significant weight in Nigeria.
In the past, the presidency, as you know, has rotated between northerners and southerners, but the rules governing that were changed by President Jonathan. Does the violence in the north have anything to do with whether the president hails from the north or the south?
This Boko Haram-related violence does not. It's important to note that the group really emerged as a violent organization under the rule of President Yar'Adua, who, of course, was a northern president. I think it would be a mistake to think that if a northern president were to win the election in 2015, that the Boko Haram crisis would go away. Leadership is certainly relevant here. Who is president does matter. But it's not about where the president comes from necessarily. It's about the statesmanship of the president. It's about the president's capacity to lead effectively, to deal with this crisis effectively. Boko Haram has never stated that it wants to see a northern president in Nigeria. Boko Haram's stated aim is to carve out an Islamic state for itself under pure Sharia law. So I don't think that this crisis should be viewed in those terms.